Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking Newspaper for the week ending Saturday the 17th of January 2026. The news this week is brought to you by Team 2. This is Rod and your other readers are Kevin and Jane, and we also welcome Cherry, one of Decorum Talking Newspaper's relief readers, who is also joining us this week. The editor this week is Mary. Our sponsors this week are Knox Cropper LLP. They provide expertise across a full range of accountancy services, including taxation, VAT, audit, assurance, governance, and compliance. They're based in Apsley. Contact them on telephone 218309 or website knoxcropper.com. Most of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Burke Hempstead and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442 unless stated otherwise. The headlines this week are Big Rise in Tax and 55 Million Cuts on the Way. Hospitality on its knees. Manslaughter guilt admitted. Bid to bring new housing. Special needs consultation. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, my name's Cherry. Hertfordshire County Council finance chiefs have published budget proposals for 2026-7, which include savings of £55 million and a 4.99% hike in council tax. Education, social care, highways, libraries, public health and the fire and rescue service are delivered by the County Council. In a report published on Thursday, officials have set out what they describe as an ambitious and affordable £1.2 billion budget for the delivery of those vital services in 2026-27. As part of the proposals, almost half the Council's £1.2 billion services budget will be allocated to adult care services, £563 million, with a further £310 million allocated to children's services. Of the remainder, £123 million will be allocated to community protection, which includes the fire service, public health and trading standards, and £133 million will be allocated to growth and environment, which includes waste disposal and highway services such as gritting. According to the report, increased demand for services, rising costs and the loss of a £42 million a year in central government funding over the next 3 years means Hertfordshire now faces unprecedented financial pressures. To balance the budget, the report highlights its plans to increase income and to deliver record levels of efficiencies and savings.
Hello, this is Kevin. The Liberal Democrat MP for Harpenden and Burke Hempstead has said it is absolutely urgent for ministers to provide clarity to pubs, hospitality and high street businesses, with rumours circulating that the government may be planning to reduce planned rises in business rates. Victoria Collins said that crucial high street businesses are on their last legs and that this change to high street rates is the final and only chance for the government to help save them. The Liberal Democrats are also calling for an emergency cut to VAT for hospitality to boost high streets and cut costs for local families. The MP said this is the last chance saloon for our hospitality sector. From the current job tax to high energy bills, so many small businesses in my constituency are on their last legs and need support. These businesses are naturally worried sick. The government must respond by U-turning and announcing support for all hospitality businesses, including a VAT cut to boost our high streets. This is a pivotal moment for ministers, and it is absolutely urgent that they provide the clarity that these businesses need. It is their final and only chance.
A Hemel Hempstead man has pleaded guilty to manslaughter after a fatal assault at a charity event in the town in October. David Lewis, 38, of Fennycroft Road, admitted causing the death of Jack Oliver Froggle, known to his friends and family as Ollie, at a charity event at Hemel Hempstead Football Club in the early hours of Saturday, October the 25th, during an appearance at Luton Crown Court on January the 8th. Ollie was taken to hospital following the incident, but died of his injuries on Tuesday, November the 4th. Lewis was arrested by police the day after the assault. Detective Inspector Caver Taylor from Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire and Hertfordshire Major Crime Unit said, "David Lewis's behaviour could not have been further from the spirit of a charity event. He took Ollie's life and shattered many more lives in doing so. My thoughts are with Ollie's family and friends as they continue to come to terms with the shock of his death." Lewis was bailed by Luton Crown Court and will be sentenced on March the 25th. Ollie's family have requested that their privacy is respected at this time.
A planning application has been submitted to Decorum Borough Council for a new neighbourhood of 75 homes in Leverstock Green. The development aims to set a new benchmark for low-carbon, community-focused housing, helping to make housing more affordable through lower living costs and more flexible housing choices. The 2-hectare project situated off Westwick Row is being brought forward by the Crown Estate and Town, the UK's leading co-housing developer, and it's designed to showcase how new suburban development can deliver stronger communities, better homes, and strong environmental outcomes. The project explores an innovative mix of housing products and tenures, including novel approaches to rent and community-oriented housing. Homes will be arranged in clusters around shared gardens, play surface spaces, green routes, and a central public square. These shared spaces will be supported by a management approach that embeds community stewardship, encouraging neighbourly interaction and helping to build a strong sense of community. A common house sits at the heart of a co-housing community that forms part of the housing offer. The common house features a kitchen and dining room for shared meals, a living room, 2 guests, bedrooms and flexible rooms for everyday activities. As well as the common house, a small community hub will be available for the neighbourhood and the wider community. The aim is to create a sociable place to live where people can know their neighbours, share resources and look out for each other. Commenting on the proposals, Guy Roches, Associate Director at Town, "We're proud of these proposals at Westwick Row. We're bringing together innovative approaches to housing products and tenures to demonstrate a new approach to suburban development, shaped through close collaboration with the local people and future residents. That process has given the project a clarity of purpose you rarely see at this stage."
The scheme has been designed by an award-winning architectural team, including Periscope, Mole and Archeo. The master plan is built around ambitious environmental targets designed to reduce energy use and lower residents' bills, therefore improving long-term affordability. The landscape proposals retain and strengthen existing hedgerows, introduce more than 125 new trees, and provide communal gardens, play areas, and food-growing spaces. A standout feature of the proposed development is its participatory approach. Over 30 hours of structured co-design workshops brought local residents, renters and future residents of the Westwick Row co-housing community directly into the design process, influencing everything from street layouts to access routes, landscape character, and the design of shared buildings, all the while ensuring that it would work with the surrounding area. Three groups were involved: the Ideas Exchange, a panel selected to reflect the demographic makeup of the local area, a renters panel, and the co-housing group. Each offered detailed insights from different perspectives, supported by wider public consultation across Leverstock Green, helping to inform the final proposals. Subject to approval, the scheme will deliver 75 homes, a community hub, generous public open space, and new walking and cycling links that open the site to both Leverstock Green and future neighbourhoods to the east of Hemel Hempstead.
David Taylor MP's consultation on special educational needs and disabilities in Hemel Hempstead has now been analysed, and it will be published in a new report setting out key findings, key themes and key messages from the constituency to take directly to ministers in the Department for Education and Hertfordshire County Council. In November 2025, David Taylor MP launched a survey to hear directly from parents, carers and educators about the challenges of securing the right support for children with SEND. The results of that survey have now been published into a new report, giving all children the start they deserve. SEND services in Hemel Hempstead. It is available online through a link, https://shorturl.at/q0i0. The survey was completed by 119 people across Hemel Hempstead, around 90% of which described themselves as a parent, carer or young person with SEND. Respondents were connected to 108 different schools or settings, including both mainstream and specialist schools, reflecting the wide range nature of the SEND challenges across the area. Respondents shared their views on the process to receiving an educational health and care plan, an EHCP for their child, their biggest challenges, changes they would like to see, and the message they want David Taylor MP to take to the Department for Education. Key survey statistics were: only 52% said their child had an EHCP. Among those who have received an EHCP, 80% waited more than a year. Among those with an EHCP, 53% said that the plan does not fully meet their child's needs, while 47% said it does. More than half of respondents rated their support at 1 or 2 out of 5, with only 13% feeling very supported. Key messages respondents are calling for include faster and fairer assessments, more specialist places, adequate funding for rising need, better training and better supported staff, clearer communications and a more human approach. In the coming weeks, Mr. Taylor will be taking the findings of the report and the constituency's messages directly to ministers in the Department for Education and officials in Hertfordshire County Council.
The start of 2026 has been an incredibly busy time for our projects at Repair Sheds, Community Action Decorum, with new locations opening, successful community events and a final showcase of local talent. We are thrilled to report that we have now held two highly successful Repair Cafe sessions at the Grove Hill Community Centre. The most recent event, on the 3rd of January, saw our volunteers meeting many residents and tackling precious items that needed a new lease of life. A particular highlight was the repair of a 40-year-old musical box. The owner was delighted to see the figurines spinning and hear the music tinkling once again. Our motto remains, "Don't fling it, fix it." Join us for the next monthly session on Saturday the 7th of February from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Whether you have broken electronics, clothing or bicycles, our volunteers are ready to help you save money and keep items out of landfill. Excitement is building for our brand new shed opening at the Rudolf Steiner School site in Kings Langley. This new space will allow residents to work shoulder to shoulder on practical projects while making friends and sharing skills. We are currently inviting new members to join us welcoming this community. Interested in joining us or volunteering? Please contact our repair sheds officer, Tony McKinder, at tony@communityactiondecorum.org.uk or call 617 665, or see shorturl, which is shorturl @LW3R0 for further details.
As neighbouring authority consults on fire station closures, there are no plans to close any in Hertfordshire, county councillors have been told. Hertfordshire Fire and Rescue Service, which is operated by the County Council, has around 40 fire engines operating from 29 stations. At a meeting, executive members for Public Health and Community Safety, Councillor Ajanta Hilton, was asked if there were any plans to reduce the number in Hertfordshire. Councillor Maurice Bright, Conservative, Potters Bar West, and Shenley, who held Councillor Hilton's brief under the Council's previous Tory administration, said that Buckinghamshire and Milton Keynes Fire Authority have voted to launch a public consultation on proposals that include reducing the number of on-call fire engines from 30 to 23 and closing two fire stations. In response, Councillor Hilton said she was very happy to announce that we have no plans to close any fire stations or on-call sites at all, stating that residents, colleagues and staff would find that very reassuring. Councillor Bright went on to highlight the work of the county's fire service. Our fire and service people work long hours, odd hours, and especially at times when we may be off celebrating with families over holidays such as Christmas and so on, he said. Would you, on behalf of all Hertfordshire, but also of this council, pass on thanks to our fire and rescue people for keeping Hertfordshire as safe as they do across the whole year? Councillor Hilton said that she was happy to do so and cited that the latest group of new recruits, which she said the highest ever proportion of females ever in our county.
Police warn motorists to not leave their vehicles unattended while defrosting as temperatures dip below zero. Motorists risk their vehicles being stolen if they leave them with the engine running and unattended while the windows defrost. Equally, any items left in open unattended vehicles are an easy target for thieves. Investigations Detective Superintendent for East Local Policing Command, Ant Alcock, said, "No one enjoys sitting in a freezing car whilst the windscreen is defrosting on a cold morning, but leaving it unattended with the engine running makes it an easy target for criminals. Unfortunately, there are unscrupulous individuals out there who will be on the lookout for these opportunities on icy mornings. Leaving a vehicle unlocked with the keys in the ignition can also invalidate your insurance. It's also important for motorists to defrost their windscreens fully before setting out on a journey. A frozen or partially defrosted windscreen makes it difficult to see properly, putting lives at risk. Motorists caught driving with obscured vision can receive a £100 fine and 3 penalty points for careless driving. In more serious cases, or those that are contested in court, motorists face a maximum fine of £5,000 and up to 9 penalty points and could be banned from driving. When defrosting a windscreen, police ask motorists to follow these simple steps. Check the windscreen wipers are switched off before starting the ignition. Leaving them running when a windscreen's frozen can cause damage. Start the engine and use the warm air blower on the windscreen. Remove any snow from the vehicle. Use a scraper and de-icer to remove ice from the windows. Avoid using boiling water, which can cause windscreens to crack. Stay with running vehicles while they defrost. Be sure to check the weather the night before using the vehicle and cover the windscreen with a blanket or windscreen protector also the night before. For more vehicle security and advice, visit hearts.police.uk/protect-your-vehicle.
Advertised opening hours at the Hertfordshire network of 16 recycling centres are to be shortened in a bid to reduce the amount of abuse levelled at staff. Currently, busy recycling sites can be shut to new visitors up to 30 minutes before the advertised closing time to allow time for those already inside to deal with their waste and for staff to clean the site. But being turned away can cause frustration and, according to officials, can be a trigger for some residents to become abusive towards frontline staff. So now waste chiefs are set to reduce advertised opening hours at all sites by 30 minutes to reduce resident confusion and to support staff. The change, which will not reduce the standard hours worked by staff, came into force across the county from January the 2nd. On December the 16th, the move was outlined at a meeting of the council's Environment, Transport and Growth Cabinet panel. Officials stress that it is already common practice to close the gates up to 30 minutes before the advertised closing time, and that 97% of visits are already undertaken within the new hours. At the meeting, the change was backed by the Executive Member for Environment, Transport and Growth, Councillor Paul Zakinski. First and foremost, in my mind, is that we have to protect our staff and keep them safe. The report also highlighted triggers that include a lack of understanding of site rules and legislation, such as definitions of limits of DIY waste, and a lack of capacity to accept residents' waste. It is also highlighted instances where staff challenge visitors as to the origin of their waste, should they suspect it is commercial rather than domestic waste. At the meeting, Conservative Councillor Eric Buckmaster suggested that greater use of technology could be made with direct messaging to inform and educate the recycling centre staff. The recycle centre users. According to the report presented to councillors, there are 1.5 million waste visits made to Hertfordshire sites a year. And in 2024-25, it suggests 86,226 tonnes of waste were collected, which is 6.5% higher than the year before. Also highlighted in the report are issues relating to staffing and to crime at the centres. According to the report, despite the use of monitored CCTV, police have been called to 36 incidents since June 2024, making 6 arrests. In 2025, 11 containers were stolen by organised criminals, forcing entry to recycling centres during the night. Also highlighted in the report were plans to recruit additional staff to reduce the use of agency workers. Work-related stress caused by the frequent exposure to abusive and aggressive behaviour from site users was reported to contribute to sickness absences and staff turnover.
Hundreds of armchair sleuths borrowed Richard Osman's thriller We Solve Murders from Hertfordshire Libraries last year, making it the most popular choice among readers in 2025. The thriller, penned by the game show host who has also written the Thursday Murder Club series, was picked off the shelf 2,225 times by those readers wanting to turn the pages of a physical book. But it was also borrowed as an e-book and enjoyed as an e-audio recording by hundreds more, putting the total number of times a title was loaned last year in excess of 5,500. And that was more than any other single title held by Hertfordshire's network of 46 libraries. Overall, last year, the county's library service, which celebrated its centenary in 2025, issued more than 6 million books. The second most popular adult fiction book was In Too Deep, which is part of Lee Child's Jack Reacher series. The physical book was borrowed 1,744 times, with loans of the e-book and e-audio recording, putting the total number of loans to more than 2,800. And the third most loaned title was The Frozen People by Eli Griffiths, with the physical book taken out 1,407 times. In addition to the loan of reading materials, including physical and e-books, the county's libraries also host a range of events and offer access to equipment, ranging from an eMac to a sewing machine, a laminator to a green screen. Commenting on the broad-ranging appeal of the county's libraries, the County Council's Executive Member for Resources and Performance, Councillor Chris Lucas, said, "This year we celebrated the centenary of libraries in Hertfordshire, and they remain as popular as ever with over 6 million books borrowed annually. Our libraries are warm, welcoming spaces for all activities, for all ages. As we head into the National Year of Reading 2026, our libraries will be celebrating reading in all its forms, from baby rhyme times for our youngest customers to creative reading, making use of our innovative creator spaces. There really is something for everyone in your local library."
Hemel Hempstead Business Campus, Breakspear Park, has launched a new photography competition for 2026. The public is invited to submit images for a chance to win £250, with an additional £750 donated to a local charity of their choice. Running quarterly throughout 2026, the competition is built around four defining themes: community, sustainability, well-being, and connection. Values that sit at the heart of everyday life and culture at Breakspear Park. It's open to all ages and abilities, and entries can be taken on any camera or smartphone. Each quarterly winner will receive £250 in cash, while Breakspear Park will donate £750 to the local Hertfordshire-based charity chosen by the photographer. A selection of the images will also be printed and displayed in the Business Park's central atrium, where they will be seen daily by employees and visitors. The first round, running from January to March, focuses on community, encouraging submissions that capture people coming together. This could include neighbourhood events, volunteering, office teams collaborating, multi-generational groups, or shared public spaces in action, such as parks and community hubs. Dina Mistry, marketing manager at Breakspear Park, said, "Community, sustainability, well-being and connection aren't just themes for us. They are values that define the culture at Breakspear Park and how we operate every day, from the way our businesses collaborate to how we engage with the wider local area. These principles can shape everything we do. This competition is about celebrating those values through photography. while also giving something meaningful back. Not only can entrants win £250 for themselves, but they can also directly support a local charity that matters to them with a further £750, creating a positive impact that extends well beyond the business park.
Continuing the previous item, photographs must be submitted by midnight on Sunday, the 8th of February 2026, via email to enquiries@breakspear-park.co.uk, along with the photographer's contact details. Please note that where submitted images include identifiable individuals, it is the sole responsibility of the entrant to ensure that all necessary permissions and consents have been obtained from those featured. By submitting an entry, photographers confirm that permission has been granted, and Breakspear Park accepts no responsibility or liability in relation to image consent or approvals. Breakspear Park's management team will then select three finalists for each quarterly round. These shortlisted images will then be shared on the Business Park's Facebook page, where the public will be invited to vote. The winning photograph from the first round will be announced in March 2026.
This year marks the 100th anniversary of the first ever Winnie the Pooh book. The beloved bear was first introduced to readers in a short story called The Wrong Sort of Bees, published in London newspaper The Evening News in 1925. Author A.A. Milne then went on to release the first book, simply titled Winnie the Pooh, in October 1926. To celebrate Pooh's big birthday, there will be lots of celebrations taking place, including new editions of the classic titles, an exhibition and book trails.
Police are investigating after two women were involved in a physical altercation in Hemel Hempstead. The incident took place on St Albans Hill at around 2:30 p.m. on Thursday, November the 20th, after two women exited their separate vehicles. Police are appealing for witnesses and anyone with information to come forward, and they say particularly they want to hear from a couple of people wearing high visibility clothing who they understand intervened. PC Tate from the Decorum Response Team said, "Our inquiries have been ongoing and we are now appealing for the public for information in case anyone saw what happened. We understand a couple of people wearing high-vis clothing intervened and we would like to hear from them. If this was you or you have any further information that may help our investigation, please get in touch. Information can be reported via the Hertfordshire Police website or by calling the 101 number, quoting reference 41/110621/25.
People are being encouraged to share their views and experiences of using community pharmacies to help shape flu future services. Whether you use pharmacies to pick up prescriptions, seek help or advice with a minor health issue, get a flu jab or use walk-in services, you can make your voice count by taking part in local Health Watch research, including an online survey. The research, which is being carried out by Health Watch Hertfordshire and Health Watch Essex on behalf of Hertfordshire and West Essex Integrated Care Board, ICB, will explore how people are using their local community pharmacies and how they think services could be improved. Avni Shah, Director of Primary Healthcare Transformation for Hertfordshire and West Essex ICB, said, "Community pharmacies are a vital part of local health services, providing people with ready access to over-the-counter medication dispensing, prescription medication, and providing trusted healthcare advice and support. They're playing an increasingly important role in providing more convenient access to high-quality healthcare through the Pharmacy First scheme. This allows people to get prescriptions for certain common conditions directly from their local pharmacies without a GP appointment. Pharmacies are also invaluable in their work to keep people, including offering blood pressure checks and providing NHS and COVID-19 vaccinations for eligible patients. Given the pivotal role of community pharmacies, we are keen to involve people in shaping how pharmacy services are delivered locally. By sharing your views, you will be contributing to our work to improve access to health and care, and for all our patients. To complete the survey by HealthWatch Hertfordshire, go to smartsurvey.co.uk/s/CP Hearts. For more information or request the survey in a different format, please contact Hertfordshire Health Watch on 01707 275 978 or email researchhealthandhealthwatch@hertfordshire.co.uk. The survey closes on Friday, the 20th of February 2026.
More than 100 suspects have been arrested as part of a countywide initiative to help keep town centres in Hertfordshire safe this winter. Neighbourhood policing teams have had an increased presence in town centres and retail areas throughout December and into the new year, targeting crime and antisocial behaviour. This comes after what police describe as a successful Safer Town Centre campaign last summer, tackling retail and street crime. The latest winter initiative also includes an additional focus on violence against women and girls. As of Wednesday, January the 7th, 122 arrests have been made in town centres across the county since the beginning of December. Police officers are also working with local councils and retail partners to keep shops and venues safe, locations safe. Superintendent Dave Cook said, "While we work to keep our town centre safe throughout the year, the winter has seen a step up in activity targeting shoplifting, personal robberies and crimes often associated with the nighttime economy, such as sexual offences. With these arrests, we have removed more than 100 suspects from town centre streets, hopefully reassuring residents that they continue to be safe places to visit." The increased police activity is the constabulary's response to the Police and Crime Commissioners for Hertfordshire, Jonathan Ash Edwards, Safer Town Centres focus. Mr. Ash Edwards said, "Our town centres are a vital part of Hertfordshire's economy, and ensuring people can visit them to socialise, shop and work safely is a core priority in my police and crime plan. The Safer Town Centre campaign is delivery in action. I'm grateful for the hard work of Hertfordshire police officers, PCSOs and staff over the long, busy Christmas period. As Police and Crime Commissioner, I'm determined that Hertfordshire town centres remain safe and welcoming places for everyone." Hertfordshire has 33 local neighbourhood policing teams, mostly based in town centre locations in every district. You can report concerns about your area to the dedicated Hertfordshire Police page, shorturl.at/P M9F1. Reporting longer term issues and concerns helps local officers take action against them. But if a crime is in progress, call 999 immediately. For non-emergencies, you can report online using the live web chat or call 101.
A petition against the introduction of digital ID cards is the most signed in the Hemel Hempstead constituency, according to data released by the UK Parliament. The petition has been signed by more than 5,000 people across the area, according to the data, which details the 10 most popular active petitions in the constituency as of January the 2nd. Any British resident or UK citizen is eligible to create a parliamentary petition, and British residents and UK citizens can sign such petitions. The government must respond to petitions that gain more than 10,000 signatures, while the government is required to debate the issue when 100,000 signatures are reached. The top 10 most active petitions in the constituency are as follows. At number 1, do not introduce digital ID cards. At number 2, introduce offshore detention, mass deportation for illegal migrants. At number 3, mandatory collection of publication of certain child sexual offender data. Number 4, keep 5 year indefinite leave to remain and restrict access to benefits for new indefinite leave to remain holders. Number 6, limit the sale of fireworks to those running local council approved events only. At number 7, make play and continuous provision statutory in England's key stage 1 curriculum. And at 8, reduce the maximum noise level for consumer fireworks from 120 to 90 decibels. At 8, remove the power to cancel local government elections. At 9, introduce statutory menstrual leave for people with endometriosis and adenomyosis. I think that's the right pronunciation. Forgive me if not. And at number 10, give the British public the right to vote. No confidence in the government.
Now we come to the information slot. This is followed by the obituaries, what's on, and any more news.
We've been asked to include the following notice on the information section this week. My name is Richard Harrington, and I'm a member of Chesham Pioneers Visually Impaired Bowls Club. We meet on a weekly basis throughout the year. We are now looking for new members to enable us to continue to play the sport we love. The game may give you more than you expect. Fitness, friendship, and real competition. Why not give it a try? The club will give you much support and you'll be amazed at what you can get out of it. If you are interested, please get in touch with our secretary, Ollie Platter, on telephone number 01494 715 461. For more information, visit cheshambowlingclub.org.uk, then click on Chesham Pioneers. Thank you.
Collect stamps for RNIB and make a difference to blind and partially sighted people. RNIB raised £20 for every kilogram of stamps received. If you, your business or your organisation receive cards and letters through the post, please save the stamps to send to us. Stamps are sold by weight, and RNIB will turn them into much needed funds to help people living with sight loss. What type of stamps can you send? RNIB accept all stamps, new or used, first or second class, foreign, first day covers, presentation packs or albums. Please don't send large gold post office labels or printed age marks, as these have no value to RNIB. How to send your stamps? Sending your stamps to RNIB couldn't be easier. When saving your stamps, trim carefully around them, leaving approximately 1 centimetre of paper around the edge. You can then send them to DTN by using your yellow pouch, and we will forward them to RNIB. Many thanks for your support.
News from the Macular Society. A grandmother has spoken of her pride after her grandsons, aged 10 and 12, cycled more than 40 kilometres to raise more than £1,000 for macular research on her behalf. brothers Ian and Bryn took it upon themselves to raise money for the Macular Society in support of their grandma Sally, who has dry age-related macular degeneration, AMD, as part of their local scout group's cycle challenge. The pair pushed themselves further than the 40k target for Sally, pedalling 44 kilometres by the end, raising £1,090. Inspired by his grandma, Bryn 12 said, "The cycling was fun and challenging. I was thinking about how to raise money, and Ian liked the idea of us collecting money together, so in the end we decided it should be the society. It seemed a great choice. Our grandma is really nice and kind. She does a lot of charity, so we did something for her this time." Ian, at age 10, said, "We don't think that many people would donate, but the first donation was from a stranger, so that meant a lot to us."
There is one obituary in the Gazette this week. Derek James William Sapstead of Chalfont Close passed away at home on Wednesday the 10th of December 2025, aged 81 years. The funeral is to take place at Hemel Hempstead Crematorium on Monday the 19th of January at 2:30 p.m. May he rest in peace.
There are three trustee notices this week. Pursuant to the Trustee Act 1925, any persons having a claim against or an interest in the following estate are required to send a written particulars by the 15th of March 2026 to the address given with each person named, after which the estate will be distributed, having regard only to the claims and interests of which they have had notice. Diane Mary Thursfield, deceased, late of 24 Hillfield Road, Hemel Hempstead, who died on the 14th of September 2025. Lloyds Bank PLC, PO Box 5005, Lancing, BN998AZ. Ronald Keith Hunt, deceased, late of the Lodge, 5 Broad Street, Hemel Hempstead, who died on the 7th of December 2025. Vincent Sykes, solicitors, 4 West Street, Oundle, Peterborough, PE84EF. Pamela Ann Nethercote, deceased, late of Rose Line, Nash Mills Wharf, Hemel Hempstead, who died on the 27th of October 2025. Taylor Walton, LLP, Thornycroft House, 107 Hollywell Hill, St Albans, AL11HQ.
What's on Cineworld this week? 28 years later, The Bone Temple, an action horror film. The Housemaid, a psychological thriller. Hamnet, a drama. Avatar, Fire and Ash, an action film. Marty Supreme, a drama. Rental Family, a comedy drama. Zootropolis 2, an animation. The SpongeBob Movie, Search for SquarePants, an animation comedy. The Voice of Hind Rahab, a drama. Giant, a drama. Anaconda, 2025, a comedy. Song Sung Blue, a comedy drama. David Lynch Celebration, Blue Velvet, 1986, a drama. Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring Extended, 2026, an action film. All popular films are provided to cinema with an audio description track. Please mention your requirements at the time of booking.
And coming to the Old Town Hall Theatre, Sherlock Holmes, The Death and Life. On Saturday the 14th of February at 8 p.m, a fantasy based upon a fiction finds Arthur Conan Doyle's tiring of his intolerable, arrogant Sherlock Holmes and inventing the arch-villain Moriarty to dispose of him. but Doyle's dangerous strategy, combined with his passion for raising the spirits of the dead, has rather more surreal and dramatic consequences than he bargains for. A light-hearted and intriguing investigation of the consequences when fictional characters take on lives and ambitions of their own, quite against the wishes of the author. In this wryly humorous one-man tale of murder, mystery and the occult, the world's greatest detective refuses to leave the stage. Also at the Town Hall, General Medical Emergency Ward 10, on from Thursday the 26th of February until Sunday the 1st of March. Every hospital, medical-based, doctors and nurses cliché-ridden drama on stage in a comedy mash-up spoof. It'll have you in stitches. For tickets, contact online at oldtownhall.co.uk. For more information, email othboxoffice@decorum.gov.uk or telephone 228091.
Music. Tring Chamber Midwinter Music Recital at the Old High Street Baptist Church, Tring, on Monday the 25th of January. For more information, go to tringchambermusic.co.uk. Ben Holder Quartet, Be Jazz at the Civic Centre, Berkhamsted, on Saturday the 7th of February, 8 p.m. For more information, go to bejazz.org. That's bjazz.org. The George Harrison Project. Enjoy the UK's ultimate live music tribute to George Harrison, performing his best love hits from the Beatles, his solo career and the Travelling Wilburys. 30th of January at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are £23. To book tickets, contact denbytheatre.org.
Comedy. Help celebrate the Countrywide Library Service, which will be 100 years old on the 28th of February 2026. Join Hemel Hempstead Library for an evening of Very Old Radio, featuring British comedy award-winning writer responsible for Miranda, Not Going Out, comedian and broadcast historian Paul Carenza. This engaging one-man show explores the origin of the BBC, highlighting unsung female pioneers, including Britain's long-forgotten first DJ, 1917's Gertrude Donisthorpe, aka DJ Gertie D. Paul also shares fascinating stories from his present-day BBC career, from writing for Top Gear to broadcasting on Radio 2, and why you should never hire a comedian to read the news. On Thursday, the 29th of February, at Hemel Hempstead Library, from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m, tickets £7. Register and book for tickets at hertfordshire.gov.uk/libraries100.
Future dates for your diary. Tring Farmers Market on Saturday, 14th of February, in the High Street, Tring, 9 until 2 p.m. Berkhamsted Farmers Market on Sunday, 15th of February, in the High Street in Berkhamsted, 10 until 2 p.m.
Hertfordshire County Council and Community Help Hertfordshire are launching access to community supermarkets for residents who might need a little extra help covering the cost of their weekly food shop. Community supermarkets are an even more affordable alternative to low-cost supermarkets, offering food and household essentials for less than £1 per item. The supermarkets operate using a membership scheme, but the first 8 visits are free. Thanks to the Household Support Fund. After that, a small fee applies to each visit on top of the cost of your shopping. The initiative was launched for the first time in 2025 to help residents who were professionally referred to access healthy food options for great value, and it is now being opened up for residents to self-refer to the service. people using the service can also find out about what other support may be available to them and their families. In Decorum, the community supermarket can be found at Grove Hill Community Centre, Henry Wells Square, Grove Hill, HP26BJ, and is open every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon.
Three cars were stolen after thieves smashed into a car showroom in Marsworth last month. The break-in took place at SMT Automotive just before 9 p.m. on December the 16th and cost the business more than £100,000. Two of the stolen vehicles, a BMW X5 and a Mercedes E53, have been recovered with false number plates. However, a limestone grey Volkswagen Golf R remains missing. In a social media post, the business wrote, "We are a family-run business, built from the ground up with years of hard work, long days, and the support of our staff, customers, friends and family. To arrive and find our showroom broken into and cars stolen was absolutely devastating." Director Ricky Thackra and his girlfriend watched events unfold on his phone, triggered by the alarm system, as hooded and masked intruders smashed into the showroom. They arrived to find showroom doors smashed, glass everywhere, stock damaged and vehicles missing. Ricky added, "Our team at SMT Automotive were incredible. Staff came in at short notice to help clear glass, move vehicles, secure what we could and try to make the site safe again." A Thames Valley Police spokesperson said, "On December the 16th, around 9 p.m, we received a report of a burglary at a business premises in Lower End Tring. Three vehicles were stolen and two have been recovered by officers. We are still looking for a grey Golf R, which has not yet been located. Our investigation continues and we ask anyone with any information to please contact us online or via 101, quoting 4325 0638664.
Ashridge House near Berkhamsted can now be used as a hotel after Decorum Borough Council's planning committee agreed to a change of use. Currently, the 206 rooms at the site are available only to those attending conferences or other events there. The council planning officer said this application does not propose the creation of any additional bedrooms. Rather, it simply seeks planning permission for the existing rooms to be used by leisure guests, i.e. for those not attending Ashridge House for the purpose of a wedding, conference or residential stay at the Management College. Essentially, this will enable better utilisation of the permitted accommodation at times when it is not currently fully occupied. Council officers who recommended that councillors approve the development at the planning meeting on January the 8th said that the change of use would provide additional revenue to support the required repairs and maintenance of the Grade 1 listed Ashridge House and the Grade 2 listed Park and Garden. Councillor William Allen described the property as a real jewel in the borough, while Councillor Jan Madden said Ashridge is a stunningly beautiful, very important local building. These are really hard times, and if this is going to ensure the longevity of this as a building in use, then it would absolutely support this. Ashridge House dates back to 1808 and has gardens designed by Humphrey Repton and Capability Brown. Around 28 of the rooms are located within the main house, with the remaining 178 elsewhere in the grounds. The total of 433 parking spaces is below the council's expected standard, but scenario modelling showed there would be sufficient parking.
A man was arrested after he was seen driving a stolen vehicle. David Garrett 24, from Warners End Road, was arrested on the morning of Wednesday, January the 7th, after a vehicle was stolen from a residential driveway overnight. Garrett was detained after police received reports of a vehicle being driven erratically through the town. The vehicle was followed by police and came to a stop once its tyres deflated. After his arrest, Garrett was charged with four counts of vehicle interference, theft of a motor vehicle, dangerous driving, driving otherwise than in accordance with licence, and driving without insurance. Garrett appeared at Hatfield Magistrate Court on January the 8th and pleaded guilty to all offences. He was remanded in custody ahead of a sentencing hearing at St Albans Crown Court on Friday, January the 30th.
Nominations are now open for the Hearts Hertfordshire Hero Awards 2026, celebrating the individuals who go above and beyond to support their communities across Hertfordshire. The annual awards, organised by Heart Hertfordshire in partnership with Serenity Welfare, recognise unsung local heroes whose dedication, compassion and selflessness make a lasting difference. Categories include Carer of the Year, Community Hero, Volunteer Award, NHS Hero, Child of Courage and Fundraiser of the Year, amongst others. Station Director at Hearts Hertfordshire, Debbie Chadwick, said, "We are incredibly proud to bring back the Heart Hertfordshire Hero Awards in 2026. These awards shine a light on the remarkable people who quietly make our county a better place." Partnering with Serenity Welfare and hosting the ceremony at Sopwell House will help us to create a truly remarkable celebration for our finalists. Serenity Welfare, our headline sponsor of the awards, said, "Supporting Heart Hertfordshire Hero Awards reflects everything Serenity Welfare stands for: compassion, community, and recognising the everyday heroes who change lives through kindness and commitment." Nominations are free, and finalists will be invited to Sopwell House for an exciting awards ceremony on Friday the 27th of March for an evening of spectacular food, awards and entertainment. Nominate somebody you believe deserves recognition for making a positive impact in Hertfordshire. Nominations close at midnight on Sunday the 8th of March. Go to hearts.co.uk, that's heart, heart.co.uk / Hertfordshire South.
And now some local football news. Lee Allinson was proud of his Hemel Hempstead Town players as they sealed their third league win in a row last weekend. Miller Matthews Lewis scored twice to earn a 2-1 win at Dover Athletic and leave the Tudors fifth in the National League South standings. And speaking to the club's media after the game, Allinson felt it was a deserved 3 points. He said, "It's a fantastic 3 points, first and foremost, because this is a very tough place to come. The pitch is really poor, and full credit to them for getting the game on, because I didn't think we'd be on today with the rain and the weather we've had, but obviously the pitch has taken a bit of a hammering. Dover's front four are a serious handful, and to come here and pick up a 2-1 win, I'm absolutely delighted with it. We changed it up a little bit as we got three or four injuries in the group, so to come here and still produce that is a real pleasing effort. Hemel had two debutants in Oliver Davis and Jack Lorenzen Jones, both of whom played a part in the opening goal just 3 minutes into the game. Hemel were due back in action on Tuesday night in the Hearts Charity Cup with a home tie against London Lions after this week's Gazette went to press. On Saturday, they then host Slough Town, who sit just outside the relegation zone.
And in basketball, Taylor Johnson's final game in the Storm shirt this season ended in defeat as London Cavaliers ran out 105-88 victors at the Storm Dome on Saturday evening. There was no lack of fight back from the host, who battled hard in the third period to pull themselves back into the contest, but poor second and fourth quarters were their undoing. The departing Johnson top scored with 18 points and was given a standing ovation as Jack Routledge removed him from the game with around a minute to play, and the Storm legend leaves with the very best wishes of everyone at the club. His third spell at Hemel, after picking up five trophies across his previous two, has seen him average 23 points per game alongside a 7.4 rebounds and show every bit of the fight and dedication that has made him a fan favourite in these parts. Braden Inger came alive in the third quarter, desperate to ignite a comeback for his side, and finished with 16 points, while Matt Norman also ended on that number courtesy of a lightning-fast start. There wasn't all that much to separate the sides, but shooting exactly 50% from the field, but the telltale number was in the rebounds column. Storm pulled down just 25 boards compared to the Cavaliers' 50, affording the visitors an additional 11 shots and a decisive 23 second chance points. Storm had zero.
We are now coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 8:02 and 16:25. Don't forget, for those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. For those who are listening to this week's news on the memory stick, the amenities and service information follows after the final music. Please remove your memory stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Turn the label over and post it back to us at the Adeyfield Community Centre, the Queen Square, Hemel Hempstead, HP2 4EW, using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it is goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Joe, your technician for this week.